If you're an ex-smoker who's craving your Nicorette lozenges, which have steadily disappeared from shelves starting about a year ago, we have good news for you. We contacted the company GlaxoSmithKline. They say they will have the lozenges back on the shelves later this year. They stopped making them because of quality control issues, but people who depended on them for the nicotine replacement have been hoarding them. The Washington Post reports that prices spiked up to 6 times the original amount on Amazon. Dr. Taylor Hayes joins us from the Mayo Clinic Nicotine Dependence Center in Rochester, Minnesota. Doctor, remind us what these lozenges are.
The lozenges are a form of nicotine replacement therapy where the nicotine is absorbed through the lining of the mouth.
And what are you seeing from patients who were using them and now we're reading, we're scrambling, trying to hoard them, trying to buy them online and couldn't get them?
Some frustration, but we really try to turn those patients into other products. There are some other products that are absorbed very similarly or almost exactly the same as the lozenge.
Such as?
The nicotine gum, which is absorbed exactly the same through the lining of the mouth, and the absorption characteristics are exactly the same as the Nicorette lozenge, but of course, slightly different in that you have to chew and park the gum in order to get the nicotine out of it.
You're saying people are frustrated. We're reading of people who were starting to feel the way they felt smoking cigarettes, you know, panicking, jittery, because they couldn't get their lozenges. Can you get addicted to these lozenges the way you are to nicotine in a cigarette?
You can certainly get addicted, but it is not the same as cigarettes. And that's because the absorption of the nicotine is so much slower than cigarettes. So we use it therapeutically to help people reduce urges to smoke and reduce withdrawal symptoms. And we've learned over the last 2 decades that nicotine replacement therapy is very effective at doing that and helps people quit.
Is there supposed to be a limited time that you're supposed to use these? And do some people go over?
Yeah, generally people use nicotine replacement therapy for about 12 weeks, although some patients, especially those who may be prone to relapse, may need to use it longer. Some people use it a lot longer than 12 weeks to 6 months, and I believe those people probably are addicted. However, if they're not smoking, my approach is to tell them to keep using it, and we'll figure out a plan to help them taper off and get off the nicotine replacement therapy eventually.
Because anything's better than smoking. Well, where do you at the Mayo fall on vaping? This is, you know, e-cigarettes, inhaling the nicotine vapor. Is that starting to cut into the market of people coming to you, for instance, for therapy using gums, patches, lozenges? And how do you feel about e-cigarettes?
So from the patient perspective, yes, many patients are asking about it and feeling like it's another therapeutic option. Our approach to it is to say, we don't know. We don't know if it's a good therapeutic option because it's not one product, it's 500 products. Mm. There is no good manufacturing process. It's not regulated. So it's not proven safe. It's not proven effective. And until that, we tell patients, listen, if you're really serious about making a stop attempt, get connected to counseling to get some behavioral therapy. Use medications to their full extent. You can use a lozenge or gum, and we usually add combination nicotine patch with the lozenge or gum. So it's a long-acting and a short-acting to help people manage their cravings and urges. That's the most effective way to help them stop. As far as e-cigarettes, we are not recommending them until there are some more safety and effectiveness studies out there for us to hang our hat on. We won't be recommending them.
Well, Doctor, every time we've had a segment, and there have been a few now, that have questioned e-cigs because research shows that kids are actually using them as a pathway to smoking. Every time we do one of those reports at all questioning e-cigs, we are flooded with response from people who say, yes, but it's helping me not smoke. There is a new report that finds smoking kills more people, 60,000 more people a year than thought, causes more illnesses, at least 5 more illnesses than previously thought. Would you have the same thought about e-cigs that you have about nicotine patches or gum or lozenges, that even though the jury's out and you're not recommending them, it's better than smoking?
So, will you let me equivocate a little bit? I'd say, if you want to compare e-cigarettes to tobacco smoke, I believe they probably are safer. You don't have the combustion of tobacco, and that's where most of their carcinogens come from. However, we don't know what's going to happen long term. There are other aspects of it, as you've alluded to, that is uptake by children and what that means for their future as far as smoking. We know that a good portion, maybe a fifth or larger of the people who are taking up e-cigarettes, have never been smokers. will they transition to tobacco use? I think that the last thing is the public health issue, and that is what happens to the changing social norms. We've been really very effective in this country at changing social norms. We don't see a lot of public smoking. So if that changes with e-cigarettes, will we be encouraging people to start again, not just with e-cigarettes, but with tobacco?
By seeing people puff on these e-cigarettes in public, yeah.
Yes. And in our state, as well as across the country, we've seen a doubling to quadrupling of youth use of e-cigarettes. What does that mean for the future? Will that be a transition? Are we willing to make that experiment again and have another bump in the epidemic that we are now on the downhill side of?
Dr. Taylor Hayes from the Mayo Clinic Nicotine Dependence Center in Rochester, Minnesota. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.